This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Recovery Radio. I sure hope you found out about us by now. We're here each week. This time we talk about the disease of addiction, and most particularly in the context of how to get help, how to save lives. Millions of people manage to find their way back from substance abuse, and we want to reinforce that each and every chance we get an opportunity to do that on Recovery Radio. The whole thing, of course, sponsored by Retreat, Premier Addiction Treatment Centers. And they are our go-to people for people in the field, people in the trenches who know what needs to be done. But we bring you the program as an informational tool. We want you to know what you're facing and maybe help you get out from under it should this disease visit you. One of the to that end, let me welcome from Retreat, Kelly Ekcheck. Am I doing that right, Kelly? Kelly is a licensed clinical alcohol and drug counselor, and she is the community relations representative for Retreat, working in West Palm. We welcome Kelly, first time to the program. Kelly, thanks for joining us on Recovery Radio.
Thanks for having me.
One of the things, Kelly, we're going to talk about get deep on here is most people now read, you know, the news. They know what's going on with regard to the epidemic we're facing with opioids. They know the toll that it's taking, and they see a lot of efforts being made, not enough, clearly. And if they're like me, they go, what else needs to be done? The program we're going to talk about today that Kelly has helped us put together is going to show us how, as part of Retreat's community outreach program, you can marshal resources and be very proactive when confronting substance abuse, because we're well past the time where we can just sit back and watch this thing unfold. Action must be taken. Kelly has managed to round up a couple of people who are terrific examples of that. Kelly, tell us who you have on the other line waiting to talk to us.
So I have Alton Robinson from CARES. He's the lead peer recovery specialist for the Center for Addiction Recovery Education and Success. And I also have with us Sheriff Gannon. He is the sheriff of Morris County. And we have something available for New Jersey that is exceptional. It's a service through Hope One, which I'm sure he's going to discuss in detail for you.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Can everybody hear everybody? I know we've got a little conference call going on here. Alton, you can hear us, right?
Yes, we can.
And Sheriff Gannon, thanks for joining us. Now, to be clear, you guys are in New Jersey, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Let me begin with Sheriff Gannon. Did I get it right? Do we need to be way more proactive as a society and communities to fight this problem?
Yeah, I believe we do. You know, I believe that opioid addiction, I mean, we're in an epidemic right now, but I believe it goes into three categories. It's an education piece, there's an enforcement piece, and there's a treatment piece. And the police have been good historically on the enforcement piece. You know, we're looking for the for-profit opioid dealers, and we're looking to cut the head off the snake. We're looking to make arrests. We're looking to do successful prosecutions and incarceration for the for-profit opioid dealer. Putting that aside, we are not going to arrest our way out of addiction. So we need to work on education and treatment. With Hope One, we're doing just that. Hope One is a mobile access recovery vehicle that goes out into the community with services. A sheriff's officer in plain clothes in a very inviting environment, a mental health clinician, and that certified peer recovery specialist like Alton, who's able to talk to others who were addicted and understands addiction from the inside out.
So we're now moving, at least you guys are, in Morris County, past the standard kick the door down and lock up the bad guys' war on drugs, and that I think we need to see replicated all over the country. Alton, how did tell us about CARE, which is what does it stand? It stands for Center for Addiction Recovery Education. Tell us about that and your role in it.
Well, I'm the lead peer recovery specialist for CARES New Jersey. And what we've found out, there's also a fourth section that goes along with helping that individual in recovery. As we talked about treatment, we talked about enforcement and some educational components, but there's also a transition component that we think is very, very important for to help that individual reach sustainable recovery. We know that it's very easy for someone to get into recovery, but how about the sustainability piece when we talk about employment, right? We talk about learning how to write a resume. We got 50 or so friendly recovery employers that would be willing to hire these individuals. So we go out and we vet and find these people to get them on the pathway of not just using, but also repairing the damage they've caused in their life. So we do believe that the transition piece is just as important, if not more important, than the treatment piece. Treatment is absolutely the foundation, but for sustainability, how do we deal with those things in those areas that we have damaged so heavily in our lives?
Yeah, well, it's
help them repair those things.
Yeah, it's another example of what we say here on the program, and that is that, you know, fighting this the disease of addiction is not one thing or two things. In fact, it's a process of many things, and that's why it's encouraging to hear about CARE and what they do. And certainly it's encouraging to hear the sheriff talk about a new way of policing this problem. Kelly, where does a treatment facility like Recovery fit into this community outreach program?
So I guess sometimes people don't really understand what my position is at Retreat. Obviously, we have locations in Pennsylvania and we have a location in Florida, and I live in New Jersey. So I live in Morris County, so that's why CARES is such a near and dear program to my heart and the people that are there. But a lot of people look at a marketer or community relations representative as a salesman. So the thing is that I'm not really selling anything. And I think it goes along with sort of what CARES is doing, that, you know, these services are free. I'm free to any families or individuals looking for help. And, you know, even if a person can't come to Retreat, maybe they have to stay in New Jersey. Maybe they have a primary mental health diagnosis. So my job is to just help them. You know, I'm available to them. I'm available to the family. And then in regards to education and treatment, that's, you know, my job is to provide options for people and tell them about services that are they're out there, programs that are out there, places that I've visited and that I've vetted, and that, you know, it's to form these relationships with other treatment programs, providers, and the community itself and the community resources like CARES and Hope One, because I feel the biggest thing that we can do for someone is be available, and Hope One, it's traveling, it's on the road, and it's becoming an option for someone that may not even know they're looking. You know, they just walk out of a store or, you know, a church of some sort, and they're provided with resources. So sometimes, you know, it's just about getting in front of someone. And I feel that that's what we're all trying to do.
Well, that's what's most encouraging about this cooperative effort between folks like Retreat and Kelly and Alton Robinson with CARE and Sheriff Gannon. Anybody can answer this if they like. It's always seemed to me that we, as a society confronting this problem of substance abuse, particularly the epidemic now, are always playing defense. We're always back on our heels. And for the longest time, as Sheriff Gannon points out, we thought our offense consisted solely of locking people up. Sheriff Gannon, was there a lot of resistance in your department to being more proactive and, in fact, go on offense rather than defense fighting this problem?
No, there wasn't, really. I think that, you know, we were talking about this morning. You know, the police are the only telephone number 24 hours a day that people call in the community, whether they're locked out of their car or their loved one is in a bad way with addiction. So I think that the police has been the easiest sell. We understand that. Now, we understand there's an enforcement angle, as I said before, with regards to for-profit opioid dealers. But we're also looking at crime reduction. Our bottom line, whether you're the sheriff or the local police chief or the colonel of the state police, we're about crime reduction and issues of recidivism in our jail and prison systems and out on the street. And I think that this program really works because of that. We're different in two ways, right? We bring services to the client. And I say it's like the bookmobile of the 70s. They used to come into your community and provide you a book and work on literacy, which is still an issue that we're all concerned about. So we provide services to the client. We bring services to them. And most importantly, we have a resource inventory. So we have 15 treatment providers that are high-end people that are in different categories. People with, you know, issues involving mental health, there's a path. People in that need detox, there's a path. Outpatient, intensive outpatient, we know that. We know who takes insurance, who doesn't, who we need for scholarship. We have a partnership with Daytop. If you're under the age of 21, Daytop will take those folks immediately. So we have the resource inventory. I think from a loved one's perspective, that's where we're different, because many times the loved ones are on with insurance and they're navigating the system. We take that out. We have the likes of Alton Robinson and other staff members who really deal with these folks directly and are able to get these folks who need services right into those services.
James Gannon is the sheriff of Morris County, and he's talking to us about the initiative he has undertaken with his department to really, when you think about it, fight the drug epidemic in this country through a multitude of efforts, Hope One being the one we're discussing now. We're also joined by Alton Robinson, who is the lead peer recovery specialist for the Center for Addiction Recovery and Education Success, or CARES, the name of that program. They've been brought to us by Kelly Efchek from Retreat in New Jersey. Guys, stay with us. This is fascinating, and I want to hear more about the community outreach program. Hi, welcome back to Recovery Radio. Our guests on the phone are Kelly Efchek, who is with Retreat. She is the community's outreach representative from Retreat. I'm stumbling all over myself. Also over in New Jersey is Alton Robinson, who's the lead peer recovery specialist for something called CARE, which is the Center for Addiction Recovery Education and Success, as well as from Morris County, Sheriff James Gannon, who's serving his first term there and has spearheaded a remarkable effort called, among other things, called Hope One, which is a mobile recovery access vehicle. He's been telling us all about that. I don't want to overstate this, but it seems like a revolutionary way for law enforcement to be engaged in this fight against substance abuse or the disease of addiction. Sheriff Gannon, let's get back to you, because I find what you're doing in law enforcement to be among the most remarkable changes in certainly policing, but attitudes about this. I mean, when there's a drug or substance problem in someone's life or in the community as a whole, people don't see police as first responders in a sense of helping. They see them as damage control. This effort is trying to change that perception, correct?
That's very, very correct. But I'm seeing it across the state. I'm seeing it, obviously, throughout Morris County. We have so much support from public and private entities, great partnerships, but I'm seeing it throughout the state. I mean, here we are today. I'm actually with the Newark Police Department today. I talked to Director Ambrose about this issue. So now we're talking about the largest city in the state of New Jersey who is going to be turning on Hope One, Newark. I'm here with a Lieutenant Henningsen of the Newark Police Department, who's leading the effort with the director on that. I'm here with the sheriff of Atlantic County, New Jersey, where Atlantic City is, who's a former Atlantic City police officer, you know, Sheriff Scheffler. And he's here seeing this live. So I'm seeing like-minded people, veterans in the business, who are all recognizing the fact that we need to make a turn as to how we're approaching addiction, all for the same reasons. These are all like-minded people that are making a difference. And these law enforcement folks are the ones standing up in their jurisdiction saying, we can make a difference here. So I see a lot of optimism. I see a lot of promise. And I really dedicate a lot of it to law enforcement and these other you know, private-public partnerships that we have. So exciting times, I think, are on the horizon here.
Well, we sure need some good news. Alton Robinson, as a somebody who's, you know, boots on the ground in terms of you know talking to substance abusers as a recovery specialist, do you find that they need also to have their perception of what the police's role in all this is about?
I think that what we're doing here, particularly right now in Morris County, is cutting edge, right? Listen, the view I had of law enforcement was, I'm going to say and use the word run. Every time I saw them, it was like, okay, let me put on my running shoes because I know they were coming after me. My perception as an individual who was sentenced to a 9-year prison sentence 4 years ago has totally changed of what law enforcement is. I kind of joke with them now and talk about their high-priced social workers, but they are doing a tremendous effort in changing the stigma of what this whole addiction process looks like.
Yeah, it's interesting. Someone who's abusing drugs or in particular, but drugs or alcohol or whatever, to run away from the police is perfectly understandable, given the historical background. But it would be little like somebody with a serious, you know, whether it's diabetes or worse, cancer or something like that, running away from their physician. So that shift in consciousness can be very, very powerful. Kelly, as somebody who's involved in community outreach for retreat, are you finding that people have an openness to this? They must welcome the idea that they're, if they're lucky, their police department is this proactive. Is that what you're finding?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've seen it all over the state and different counties, and the way that it's taken off in Morris County definitely stands out, and the relationship that the police officers have, and that they show up for there's a breakfast that's put together every month, and they're there and they're open, and you know, the willingness to help and learn more about what's going on it's definitely something that stands out from, you know, a lot of the rest of things that are going on.
Yeah, Alton's comment about running away from the police is mm-hmm. right on point. Sheriff, I sort of buried the lead here. Now, how big a problem are you facing in Morris County?
In Morris County, if we look statistically, 2016 showed about 64 people that died from opioid overdose. 2017 showed roughly 85. We're still waiting for toxicology to come back from the medical examiner, but around 85 died. But I think the numbers are quite interesting. The police in Morris County last year deployed Narcan nearly 200 times themselves. So giving people a second chance, you know, it's not truly a life-saving, right? It's a second chance. I'm not including numbers on the emergency medical service, the ambulance service, the emergency departments at the hospitals. So we're seeing a problem across all socioeconomics. This is not a downtown problem. This is a Main Street problem. And we've seen fatalities over the last few years, from teenagers to people that were nearly 80 years old. So this is not a kid problem. This is a problem across all sectors, across all ages. And when we go out in the community, we really see that people are talking about their moms and dads that are sick, you know, that are addicted. It's really this multidisciplinary approach. I think it's the only way that we can do it. Go out, bring services to the people out in the community, have a resource inventory. We give toiletry bags out. We gave one time in Dover, we gave out 21 coats one day. It was cold out. Because we're focused on the at-risk population right now, the people without support. Okay, that's our phase one operation. That's where we're still in. And we're evaluating where we go from here. But that's, in essence, our bread and butter, right? We need to provide services to people that just don't have access to them.
Well, I've often felt that if the disease of addiction were an airborne disease, not unlike the flu or something like that, we would see society and lots of people in the community mobilize, particularly government, on this kind of a level, on this very proactive level. You wouldn't sit back and watch a communicable disease spread and just wring your hands and treat the sick. You'd be out trying to stop this. And while obviously you can't catch the disease of addiction, This is exactly the approach I think we need desperately with regard to the problems we're in right now. Welcome back to Recovery Radio. We'll be back with our guests straight ahead, but I want to remind you of something I do each and every week. This is sponsored. The program is sponsored and has been for a while by the good people at Retreat Premier Addiction Treatment Centers, and I could go on at length and sometimes do about the reputation they have as just a terrific, terrific facility that's helped a lot of people with the disease of addiction. But this is the truth. They have sponsored this program less about, you know, bragging about themselves, and they have every right to, and more about informing people about the disease of addiction and the fact that millions of people can get help and can get sober. Millions do that. But, you know, you got to make the first move. When this disease arrives, it does so without warning. People have to make extraordinary decisions under extraordinary circumstances. You don't know who to turn to. Here's a phone number I hope you never have to use. But if you do, it could save someone's life. It's the number for Retreat, 855-859-8808. And again, I remind you, you can call them about any questions you have, about anything you've heard on the program, anything that's going on in your life regarding the treatment you have now, or if you're looking for world-class treatment facilities. Retreat is there, 855-859-8808. From Retreat, Kelly Efcheck is with us. She is the community relations representative for Retreat, and she has brought together the folks we've been talking to, Alton Robinson, who's a peer recovery specialist with the Center for Addiction Recovery Education Care over New Jersey, and someone they both work with very closely, and that is Morris County Sheriff James Gannon, who's been filling us in on the extraordinary work and change in sort of attitude of policing this problem that's occurring in Morris County. Sheriff Gannon, talk a little bit about Hope One and the extension of it into the prison system in Jersey.
Yes. You know, we noticed, you know, in our correctional facility, which I have the honor of leading the effort there at our correctional facility, that we have about 3,100 people that come through the door each year as inmates. And by their own survey upon, you know, exit, 25% say they're addicted. The medical and the psychiatric staff says over 50%, and some of the corrections officers who are on the floor there on the tiers say 80%. But let's use 50%. We have over 1,500 people a year who are in there who are addicted. So what are we doing about it? Now, we had some social programs there before, but many times it was downtime. And if we're not careful, the inmates are playing dominoes and cards and really not doing anything to get out of their addiction. So in June, I introduced a wing called the Hope Wing and curriculum called A New Direction. The curriculum was named by the inmate population who started in that wing. So what we see there during the week is 10 blocks of instruction. We start on Monday with a faith-based curriculum, and then we move up to anger management courses, repairing familiar relationships, and those types of things. We have AA and NA inmate-led. We have externals that come in, such as Alton Robinson, to speak about his experiences and his success, and that there is hope there. You know, because people will ask, why do you have curriculum on repairing familial relationships? Well, the reality is, many times, the inmate will have already stolen daddy's gun collection and mommy's silver set. So it's very difficult to get sober without having repaired those relationships. So we work very hard on that. Also, we're looking for a hot handoff. When that person is discharged, and with bail reform, we see people discharged sooner than they had been in the past, we want to give them a few things. We want to give them a warm handoff to a program, and Alton Robinson can help us with that. We want to work on their housing issues. Are they living at large? If they are, it's hard to get sober. Let's work with the Morris County Office of Temporary Assistance to get them housing. Let's work on employment. We've identified 50 felony employers in Morris County who are providing jobs to folks who have been in our county jail. And the last piece, and arguably the most important, is let's look at education. Do we have ability to provide the GED exam in the Morris County Correctional Facility? Well, we will very soon. So we're going to be providing proctoring the exam right in the correctional facility. So, and relationships with other, you know, colleges, so people can get their education. If you look at issues of recidivism in the Bureau of Prisons, they talk about the fact that when people don't have their GED versus people who are in essence a PhD, you'll see how recidivism works, right? The higher the education, the less recidivism, according to Bureau of Prisons last month. So that data just reflects we have a multidisciplinary prong. We also are looking to work on issues of, you know, reading and literacy. You know, that's a real important piece of it all. And we're looking to bolt that on in our Hope One mobile access vehicle and also in the jail setting. Other social services that can equip people for their life.
Yeah. Well, Alton Robinson, explain to people who don't know, and I find many who don't, who hear a sheriff say something about, you know, helping people in this situation to read, would say, help them to read. These are drug addicts. What? Explain briefly how, you, as a peer recovery specialist, how ill-equipped someone coming off drugs or trying to remain sober, how ill-equipped they are just to survive in a regular context.
Well, listen, we've talked about many entry points as we've been on this conversation about addiction. We've been on the standpoint of talked about Hope One. We've talked about treatment. But then we have to talk about the exit points when we start talking about what happens after we are either discharged or released from the correctional facility or discharged from a treatment program. Then life kind of slaps you in the face and you have this now what moment. So at CARES, what we do is that we deal with that what now moment, right?
Yeah, what's next, right?
That's right. So we talk to these individuals and we ask a question that's probably never been asked of them before. And that question is, what can I do to make your life better today? And they kind of look at you like, well, wait a minute, nobody really ever asked me what is it that I want or what I need. So we deal with along the scale of if they say, housing is my biggest crisis right now, then we want to deal with the housing issue. If they say education, then let's get them connected with somewhere like maybe a DVR to get them so they can start getting the educational component. If they say it's more aftercare or clinical treatment we need, let's connect them to that kind of resource. So that's kind of what we do as a peer recovery specialist is that we connect them with resources. But we're also a mentor. We are a cheerleader. We're there to walk this journey alongside them, not really carry them, but walk alongside them as kind of like that cheerleader, that mentor, that motivator, or whatever role that we need to play in this individual's life. Because we do know that most people that relapse is not just relapsing because they want to use drugs and alcohol. It's life experiences that comes back to bite them, and I won't say that.
Yeah.
Back, right, to get them, that really gets them back out there. Mm-hmm. For example, I take a young man who's living in Tent City and send him away to treatment for 6 to 9 months, right? He comes out, and he realizes that I look great, I feel great, but I have to go back to Tent City. The chance of this individual staying clean and sober drops dramatically because we haven't addressed, even though he's been away for 9 months, we haven't addressed his basic necessities. So that's what we try to cover as a certified peer recovery specialist when we talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, working over at CARES is we kind of take the 8 dimensions of wellness approach, right? And we work with them on all different dimensions. We also have a 3-pronged approach to what we do. We work with them before we get them into treatment. But we also work very closely with places like Retreat and other treatment centers while they're in treatment.
Yeah.
Most importantly is that we work with them after discharge. I think that's where the heavy lifting is because treatment is a very short portion. Recovery is going to be for a lifetime.
For the rest of your life, yeah. There is a difference between drug and alcohol free and sobriety, obviously. And it is a lifelong process. Alton, I know that you carry this message to the community in monthly organized breakfasts. What kinds of groups are you addressing?
Well, here's what we found out. We found out that everyone was working in silos here in Marsh County as well as throughout the state. So what we said is that we have to get people outside the silos and kind of working together. So we came up with the solution of creating this monthly community outreach breakfast that involves politicians, it involves law enforcement, it involves community. It's sponsored by treatment centers. But we also have people that are in active addiction come to this breakfast. And there's also an agenda that's attached to it. We always start with a family's tragedy, which is a portion about a family that's talking about a loss of a loved one due to the epidemic or through addiction. However, we always end our program with a story of hope. And that's an individual who has walked down that road and is now on the other side. So it went from a very small gathering to now 100-plus people that we have on a monthly basis, and it's very consistent.
Well, you can see the interlocking relationship between a place like Retreat, an organization like CARES, and now the active work of someone like Sheriff Gannon with regard to, as we keep saying, really fighting the drug epidemic in this country. You guys, this has been an eye-opener. We have another segment, and I want to get around to the tougher questions of, gee, who's going to pay for all this? Because that's never far from people's minds. Welcome back to Recovery Radio. Boy, there's just so much information here on this issue of proactively getting involved from a multitude of levels in fighting the disease of addiction in the current epidemic that we could do another show on this easily. We have been joined by Kelly Efcheck and Alton Robinson, as well as Sheriff James Gannon, talking about the really extraordinary work folks like Retreat working with Alton and the Morris County Sheriff's Office in getting out in front of this disease. We can't sit back any longer as a society and just wring our hands. People have to do something, and so we congratulate you guys for doing that. You know, people will always say, this is great. Who's paying for all this? For instance, Sheriff Gannon, Mobile One, is that an expensive deal, and who is paying for it?
Yeah, you know, Hope One, let's start off from the beginning. Okay, we know the problem. We think we have an answer. What do we need? I tell you what we need. We need a vehicle. So I had a SWAT vehicle, okay? Looks like the fine Anthony's bread truck that goes around, right? A step van that we were able to retrofit. We took all the police markings off it, inclusive of the police license plates or the government license plates. And our license plate is Hope One, Garden State, right? We took them off because of co-occurring illness. Right, we put purple bunting on it and everything. We retrofitted the inside so that we'd have Wi-Fi, we'd have a confidential setting, we'd have a charging station, we'd have a place for education materials, we'd have safety equipment. God forbid there's a problem and we need oxygen, first aid kit, things like that. You know who paid for that? Drug dealers. I took it from drug forfeiture account. So drug dealers are paying for the drug program. And in police terms, I call that cool. That's the way it should be, right?
Well, of course.
So now we have a vehicle that's paid for by drug dealers. I have an officer, a command, that they do part-time on the truck. Okay, job enrichment-wise, spectacular. So I already have the headcount. I have to repurpose the vehicle. I have to repurpose the headcount. Okay, but now we're on the road. The Mental Health Association, the Certified Peer Recovery Specialist, there are established grants already within the state and within the county of Morris. And I have to say, as we go down the lane a little bit and there's monies that are needed outside of the grant, I've had a lot of support. Mm-hmm. Support from people within the county, support from the freeholders of Morris County and the county administrator, John Bonanni, who has a human services background prior to being a county administrator. So I have the support on top of it. But I think it's real important, and I see this in Newark, and I see this in Atlanta County, where people are doing these programs. They're launching these programs, understanding we can do it with light funds to start off. Let's produce metrics from a business perspective. Let's look at where we're at. So in Morris County, I think today is the 100th mission, right, since April 3rd of last year that we've been out. We have a contact every 9 minutes. People make an inquiry. We've had about 2,700 contacts. We've trained nearly 800 people in the use of Narcan. They've taken the Narcan with them. You know, Narcan costs you about $41 wholesale for the whole package. That is coming from CARES, okay? So I think that's where we need to go, and that's where we're going in law enforcement right now. We're saying, listen, we could do a lot of this with drug forfeiture money. We could do a lot with light funds and established grants. Let's produce a business case to the people, to the taxpayers, right? Mm. And the support has been overwhelming doing it that way. I am not a believer in the fact that you need, you know, multi-million dollars to see if this is going to work. Let's prove that it works or not, and then make the appeal to the people with the purse. Mm-hmm. Because that's how business should be done and is done in Morris County and beyond.
Well, and it also goes without saying, so I'll say it anyway, that the question about fighting the disease of addiction, particularly in epidemic stages, is not what it costs to wage the fight, but what it would cost not to wage the price.
Absolutely.
So, before we move on this notion of help here, you know, I've been reading for years about how the federal government has been more than willing to send police departments like you every manner of military equipment, vehicles and tanks and who knows what else. Is there any help at that level?
I mean, I have not inquired on that side because I didn't need to. I wanted to repurpose an existing vehicle, and I did that. You know, maybe there are opportunities to look at those types of things. I'm not too versed in it, though.
Well, great. Somebody in Washington should be made known of what's going on in Morris County because it's very admirable. Kelly Efcheck from Retreat, I want to thank you again for suggesting this topic. And I know this is the first time you've been on the program. I also know you're on the injured reserve list, so you're playing a little hurt. I appreciate all that. Thanks. Thanks so much, Kelly.
No problem.
Alton Robinson, if people want information about CARES over in New Jersey, what do they do?
I'm going to give you the address and the phone number. The phone number for CARES New Jersey stands for the Center for Addiction Recovery, Education, and Success. 25 West Main Street, Rockaway, New Jersey. Zip 07866. Phone number 973-625-1143. And we also have a strong family component associated with what we do.
Well, again, thank you. Thank you for the work, and thank you for appearing on the program. And finally, boy, is this cliche applicable. Over in Morris County, there's a new sheriff in town, Sheriff James Gannon. Thanks so much, and continued success with your work with Hope One. Thanks for joining us on Recovery Radio. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Everybody have a great weekend, and please look for Recovery Radio each and every Saturday. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.